forward to continuing to worship with you, thinking about our God, and look forward to what Daniel has to share. God bless you.
Happy to greet you this morning and share in this part of the worship service. Certainly because of Jesus that we can be any vessel fit for his use. As I think of Elena's health, Brother Vernon was mentioned about it. I thought of putting on the church group. I didn't post it there, but I would just like to encourage any of us who can fast this week to do it sometime this week, in behalf of our brother and sister and their daughter. We haven't had any encouragements to fast in a long time, I don't think, but I would like to open that up to you as brethren and sisters and do that on their behalf. This morning I would like you to turn in your Bibles to Psalm 23. It's not the first time I've preached here, probably. I don't know that I've just preached here. I'd like to put a question on the board. If I can find something to write with. Let's see if there's one down here.
I'd like you to think of this question. Maybe I should put the word my there. And I want us to ponder this.
Is Psalm 23 your testament? My testimony. Can it be our testimony? I've been blessed by reading Philip Keller's book again on The Shepherd Looks at Psalm 23. How many of you have read that book? Shepherd Looks at Psalm 23. A number of hands went up. I've read it years back and I was reading through it again. Felt very much like I needed to preach from this passage. Just reading through Psalms. Things that are happening in our church family, my own life. May we benefit as we ponder this passage. I'll read it at this time. The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. He maketh me to lie down in green pastures. He leadeth me beside the still waters. He restoreth my soul. He leadeth me in the paths of righteousness for his name's sake. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for thou art with me. Thy rod and thy staff, they comfort me. Thou preparest a table before me in the presence of mine enemies. Thou anointest my head with oil. My cup runneth over. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life. And I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. As I ponder this passage, my mind goes to some other scriptures. Over in 1 Peter, we'd like to just read 1 Peter 2. As he closes that passage there, talking about what Jesus has done for us, he closes it with this verse. For ye were as sheep going astray, but are now returned unto the shepherd and bishop of your souls. I'd like to also read what is said in John 10. A few verses there in John 10, verse 11. I am the good shepherd. The good shepherd giveth his life for the sheep. But he that is an hireling and not the shepherd, whose own the sheep are not, seeth the wolf coming and leaveth the sheep and fleeth, and the wolf catcheth them and scattereth the sheep. He goes on and says, I am the good shepherd and know my sheep and am known of mine. And then in verse 27, my sheep hear my voice and I know them and they follow me. And I give unto them eternal life, and they shall never perish, neither shall any man pluck them out of my hand. My Father, which gave them me, is greater than all, and no man is able to pluck them out of my Father's hand. I and my Father are one. Just some verses that come to my mind as I think of Psalm 23 and the Lord being our shepherd. There was a song that came to my mind as I was preparing, and it's that song found in the church hymnal, I Was a Wandering Sheep. I'll read it at this time. I was a wandering sheep. I did not love the fold. I did not love my shepherd's voice. I would not be controlled. I was a wayward child. I did not love my home. I did not love my father's voice. I loved afar to roam. The shepherd sought his sheep. The father sought his child. They followed me o'er vale and hill, o'er deserts waste and wild. They found me nigh to death, famished and faint and lone. They bound me with the bands of love. They saved the wandering one. Jesus my shepherd is. 'Twas he that loved my soul. 'Twas he that washed me in his blood. 'Twas he that made me whole. 'Twas he that sought the lost, that found the wandering sheep. 'Twas he that brought me to the fold. 'Tis he that still doth keep. I was a wandering sheep. I would not be controlled. But now I love my shepherd's voice. I love the fold. I was a wayward child. I once preferred to roam. But now I love my father's voice. I love his home. The reason David could pen these words is because he had a relationship with God through the work of God's mercy and grace in his life that brought about something in his experience that was far different from those who were rebelling against God's voice. And today, in terms of answering this question, in order for Psalm 23 to be our personal testimony, that is what I'm talking about. Where we have come to the place where we are surrendered to God's lordship in our lives, and we are experiencing the blessings He wants to pour down upon us in spite of what's happening all around us. And we are at rest because we have a shepherd who cares for us. I know I've talked here already about safety, trust, love, discipline, or hard truth. And that is not where I'm going this morning in terms of this passage, but I see it all through it. And I definitely agree with those concepts. David certainly felt safe in his shepherd's care, and he trusted his shepherd, and he loved his shepherd, and his shepherd was able to bring hard truth into his life to help him grow. And I see that again and again through his life. Now, why could David brag, as it were, about his shepherd? Why? Why could David brag, as it were, about his shepherd? The Lord is my shepherd. I see a sense of enthusiasm coming out of David. I see a sense of amazing, reverence for his shepherd. As he brags about his shepherd, you might say, in our terms. He fully trusted God's leading in his life. Had God really been kind to David all those years? Hadn't David gone through a lot of hard things? Why did he have to come back and see Ziklag burned with fire and everyone captured and have men that were ready to stone him? Why did he have to go through some very tough scenes in relating to a father-in-law that he loved and respected, and yet his father-in-law hated him? There's a very, very serious things go on in David's life. And yet he comes and makes this statement, the Lord is my shepherd. The Lord is my shepherd. Now as you read through this passage, David never calls himself a sheep, but he implies it. He implies it. Anyone that knows a little bit about sheep realizes they are very dumb. They're very ignorant. They're very helpless. They're very unwise in their habits. They lack perception. They're unable to fully care for themselves. They end up in ruin without a shepherd. And this morning, if we are willing to identify with this fact that we are like sheep, we are much the same. We are much the same. We too are needy and helpless and make unwise choices and lack perception many times. We're unable to fully care for ourselves and we end up in ruin without a shepherd to really guide us. I'd like to simply comment on some characteristics of sheep in general that we can learn lessons from. Sheep cannot truly lie down unless four requirements are first met. He brings those out in that book, and I really like that thought as you ponder that. He maketh me to lie down in green pastures. I plan to go through the passage in terms of each phrase or verse. But as I think of some general characteristics of sheep, they won't really lie down. He was a shepherd, he wrote the book, and he says you cannot hardly get them to lie down unless four requirements are met. One, they must be free of all fears. If there's something there that is making the sheep afraid, they will not lie down. He says someone came to visit him and brought along this dog, and as soon as this dog jumped out, his sheep all jumped up and went running. And after that he said, if you're coming to visit me, don't bring your dog. Don't bring your dog. Fear. They won't lie down unless they're free of all fears. They won't lie down unless they're free of all pests. Flies, parasites, those kind of things, working them over. They're there trying to get rid of them. They won't lie down. They must be free of friction among themselves. And they must be free from hunger, or at least have their bellies filled. And in a spiritual sense, without a loving shepherd directing us, none of us can lie down at rest on those four points either. If fear is gripping our heart, we won't be at rest. We need a shepherd to remove those fears to help us. If pests, the parasites of sin and its influences in our lives, aren't dealt with, we can't be free and lie down. If friction is happening between fellow Christians, there's not rest. That is not God's will for His people. And if we are not finding our spiritual man refreshed and blessed through the provisions that God has to pour out upon us in His lush pastures, neither will we be able to experience the rest that He wants to give us, the peace. Another characteristic of sheep is sheep, left on their own, will graze the same spot and walk the same trails till the land is ruined and their bodies worn down by parasites. He talked in the book about different places he saw where the sheep were left alone to themselves and the shepherds cared nothing really about them and how they walked these same trails and it formed gullies and washed out spots and they went out there and grazed and it was just short grass. There was no lush pasture and they were skinny, lacking sheep, full of parasites. And why they need a wise shepherd to keep them from self-destruction. And today, we too need a wise shepherd to keep us from self-destruction. We'll take our own way, we'll take our own course, we'll follow the same paths, and we'll repeat the same mistakes unless we have a shepherd who is willing to keep us from self-destruction, and He works through His Spirit, and He works through His Word, and He works through the brotherhood, and He works to deliver us from ourselves. Thank God we have a shepherd who loves us. Thirdly, sheep can lie down and become calves, and what happens when they lie down and they roll on their side and they roll too far and their feet go up and they can't get back on their feet. It sounds funny, doesn't it? Sort of sounds pretty funny, but it's what happens. And sheep can become cast, and this term cast is for several reasons. They can become cast because they've eaten so much and they can't get up because they've eaten too much. They're too full of the good things of life, you might say. They can become cast because their wool is too long and it's full of all kinds of things, mud and what you name it, stuck in their wool, and it helps them become cast. And they when they become cast, depending what the situation is, if it's really hot, it doesn't take long for them to die. They need a shepherd to deliver them from their situation. And this required constant care. If you are a shepherd and you are responsible for these sheep, every day you must be checking that all of them that are there and that none of them have become cast. And he said he'd walk out in the morning, and if he saw a buzzard flying in the air, he's like, oh no, there's one of them out there somewhere like that. You know, he had to go search, and sometimes he spent hours trying to find these sheep, you know, because if they were cast, the predators soon knew it, and they wanted them. And we too need the constant care from our shepherd. We too find ourselves getting in situations that we are helpless to deliver ourselves from. And there's only one true shepherd that can deliver us. And we must have his constant care. We must desire his constant care in our lives. Some sheep like to get outside the fence and graze on the very poor grass on the other side, no matter how lush the pasture is inside. And Philip tells that story. He said, I had a real good ewe and liked the lambs that she bore, but she was persistent in finding the hole in the fence and grazing on the other side where the pasture was poor, and yet inside the pasture he had everything she needed. And he said, finally, because of her influence, she would get others to go out there. And so he finally had to butcher the sheep because of its foolishness, its willful and stubborn way. You know, we too can be foolish. We too can follow our willful way and be stubborn and push on the fence and go outside the fence and think it's better on the other side of the fence. But God's provisions are all that we need. It's not better on the other side of the fence. Fifthly, sheep are helpless before wild animals, etc., and are quickly overcome unless guarded by a shepherd. Brother Vernon just recently preached about the enemy of our souls. We are helpless against the enemy of our souls. We must be guarded by a shepherd. And as those sheep face those enemies and can be very worked up by them, if they can just have their shepherd there close, they can be okay. It's a difference it makes. May we stay close to our shepherd, who alone can deliver us from the enemy of our souls and those enemies that lurk around trying to destroy us. And that's my sixth point. Sheep feel safe when they are close to their shepherd. This morning, God would have each one of us draw nigh to Him. God would have us be close to Him. That's His desire for us as His sheep. And then we can experience the blessings of drawing nigh to God, and He will draw nigh to you. He will draw nigh to you. I'd like to look at the first phrase here. What kind of shepherd is pictured here? Verse 1. The Lord is my shepherd. The Lord is my shepherd. Here in America, out west is probably where more of the sheep herds are. flocks. Here where we live locally, I've watched pastures where cows are. And I go past some pastures, and I see cows that are skinny, hardly any grass, very little hay or nutritional hay, and it looks like the farmer's his attitude is, well, however they can survive, that's all I'm putting into them. And then I go past other places, and I see lush pasture. I see mineral blocks right there, and there are minerals of some sort, two tubs of it for their welfare, their animals. And I see filled out animals that are flourishing because they have someone in charge of them who cares about them. This morning, I cannot impress us enough with this truth. The Lord is my shepherd. The Lord is someone who cares deeply about each one of us. The Lord is someone who understands our physical makeup. The Lord is someone who understands our emotional makeup. The Lord is someone who understands our spiritual makeup. And the Lord is someone who is capable of meeting those needs in very detailed ways so that we can be individuals who are flourishing under His care. And the psalmist here is, as it were, bragging about his shepherd. The Lord is my shepherd. The Lord is someone that loves me. The Lord is someone that is interested in my safety. The Lord is someone that understands those parasites that I can face. The Lord is able to help me in overcoming my enemy. The Lord is there with me to guide me through life. He is my creator, and He is the sustainer of this vast universe. And like they have said, and I don't know if it's current or not, but if you took one of the biggest telescope and you put it on the nearest star and you look back towards Earth, you wouldn't even see it. I don't know if that's still true, but that's what he said in that book back in the 70s, or it'd be, basically invisible with the telescope. A great God like this, who has made the vast universe, who calleth the stars by their names, is my shepherd. Is my shepherd. What else do you want to put there? Many, many, many things can be put there in terms of the love of our shepherd, the mercy that our shepherd has showed us again and again, his interest in each one of us individually, his ability to hear each one of our cries and our pleas to him as we come to him in our neediness, the world over, and yet there he is, lovingly serving as our shepherd. And he cares about this congregation, and he cares about the next congregation, and he cares about each individual here, and he knows exactly why he has us where he has us. And he knows what pastures will bless us the most, and he knows how to help us and keep us nourished. But we have to acknowledge him as our shepherd. And we have to let him be Lord of our lives, to be our shepherd. And so that is where the struggle lies. It's not something we can just glibly answer. The Lord is my shepherd. If this is our personal testimony, and I trust it is, it's our desire to do that, then it means we come under his direction. Then it means we come under his lordship. Then it means we come under the directions of the truths of His Word. Then it means we come under the discipline of the brotherhood. Then it means we come under, yes, we must follow Him. The Lord is my shepherd. It would be sad this morning if I had to tell you our shepherd doesn't do everything he can to help us. And he doesn't really care about the sheep. But this morning, that is not true. That is not true. And David goes and he makes this statement, I shall not want. I shall not want. What was David saying? I won't have to go through hard things. Well, they'd be foolish to believe that. We just read through his life. Go through years of rejection, that's a hard thing to face. Face the challenges of trying to help men that were the down and outers. Face the challenges of Ziklag. God's plan for him to be king of Israel and him not knowing when and how this was all going to come about. And go through his life and think of the scenes that he faced. And he makes this statement, I shall not want. I shall not want. What is he saying? If I put it in my words, I would say this. I am content because Jesus is my shepherd. I am at peace and at rest because I have a God who cares about me. I shall not want. I shall not want. I shall not want because I don't have a careless, selfish shepherd, but rather I have a loving, giving shepherd. A very wise and fully capable shepherd. I shall not want. My deep needs will all be met because of who is my shepherd. Would you want anything else? Is there anything better that God has to offer us than soul satisfaction? Than our spiritual needs met? I shall not want. Too many times we look at our own little, what we consider to be great needs, and fail to bless God for the wonderful provisions that He is pouring out on us today. Free gifts, again and again and again. Thirdly, I would like to ponder verse 2. How does my shepherd care for me? And as we go down through these next verses, think of how our shepherd cares for us. He maketh me to lie down in green pastures. Remember the four things I mentioned already? In order for a sheep to lie down and rest, they needed to be free from fear. They needed to be free of pests. They needed to be free of rivalry. And they needed to have been fed, well fed. He maketh me to lie down in green pastures. None of us here today can point fingers at the Lord Jesus, our shepherd, and say, you have not done what you promised in delivering me from fear. He delivered them who through fear of death were all their lifetime subject to bondage, Hebrews 2. In that aspect, he's our deliverer from fear of death. And the many fears that he tells us to bring to him and cast at him, casting all your care upon him, for he careth for you. He maketh me to lie down in green pastures. One of the challenges of overgrazing is the parasites that develop and come up in that grass, and then they eat it and they get in their bodies, and the animals are fighting those parasites. We struggled with it with our goats. You know, keep dealing with parasites is tough in the South. And yet a good shepherd. He maketh me to lie down in green pastures. Our shepherd. He cares about us. He wants to give us those pastures that meet our needs. He is not interested in us being at rivalry. Only Jesus can help us achieve these green pastures and experience that in our walk with Him. He maketh me to lie down in green pastures. He leadeth me beside the still waters. A sheep's body consists of about 70% water. cells for their metabolism, and you know, the water in their cells and their metabolism, their strength, lies to this connection to water. Amazing thing is, poor sheep, that a shepherd that takes his flock out early in the morning when there's heavy dew, if they eat right then when there's plenty of dew on the grass, that's about all the water they need. It'll last them for weeks. And a wise shepherd sees to it that they benefit from that. Not the only water they give. And the interesting parallel as you ponder that, you know, in our Christian lives, those who start the day out being blessed by the blessings of the dew of heaven through this book, and the strength that gives them for their day. Through the years, those I've seen who have done that and the blessing that has been to their lives, and can testify in my own life the difference that makes when we receive from the bread of heaven right away in the morning, receive those challenges of the Word. We need the washing of the water of the Word. We need it. We need it in our lives. You may not do it first thing in the morning, but I like that parallel as I think of it. He leadeth me beside the still waters. Other shepherds that take their flocks to some spring or some place where there's good water, the sheep can drink and be satisfied. There are many cisterns today that the world offers, but they leave one empty. They don't truly meet the needs of our soul. Let's not pursue those cisterns. Let's follow the shepherd to the still waters. He restoreth my soul. Here is a picture of possibly a cast sheep who has relaxed too much and rolled too far and is stuck on their backs and has become an easy prey for predators, and their only hope is rescue from the shepherd. Rescue from the shepherd. He restoreth my soul. Now we know that Jesus, in a very real sense, restores our soul as we come to Him and experience salvation. But there's another real sense in which we too have fallen, and we have fallen and been helpless to deliver ourselves without the blood of Christ, without forgiveness again, without coming to the One who can do that, and without that shepherd restoring our souls. Where would we be? Where would I be? The predators are many that want to come and destroy the sheep, be it wolves, be it bears, be it coyotes or dogs or whatever, maybe cougars, depends where you're at. There are many that want to come and destroy the sheep. How often have I needed rescue from my own carelessness, from my own selfishness, from my own overindulgence, or maybe from discouragement? He restoreth my soul. And you read through the Gospels and you see Jesus reaching out and restoring soul after soul after soul after soul in His love for humanity that He had created, in His interest in meeting their needs. And He selflessly, tirelessly kept right on working in behalf of mankind's needs. And He is still the same today. The same in love, the same in power. He restoreth my soul. He leadeth me in the paths of righteousness for His name's sake. Talk about a sheep. If left in a pasture, or you know, left to be on their own, how they'll walk the same path, they'll graze the same grass and ruin themselves. But here He gives a picture of a shepherd who knows what we need. He leadeth me in the paths of righteousness for his name's sake. And Jesus comes and he presents himself as, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. And he says over there in Mark 8, if you're going, whosoever will come after me, let him deny himself and take up his cross and follow me. Will I surrender to Jesus' guidance and accept his path for my life so I can flourish in him? He leadeth me in the paths of righteousness for his name's sake. The desire of our shepherd is to help us all grow up in him. Grow up in him. These paths of righteousness. And deliver us from our own foolish habits that simply wreck our own spiritual life. He wants to deliver us from that. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for thou art with me. Thy rod and thy staff, they comfort me. It is said of the shepherds who take their flocks to the high mountain ranges during the summers that they lead their flocks up through the valleys often because there's plenty of nutrients there. There's water. There's lush grass usually there. And they take their flocks up through these valleys. But these valleys also have plenty of potential for destruction. Because a predator could be sitting at a higher point looking down on them, trying to, you know, zero in on how they can get one of the sheep. And it is important for the sheep that they have a shepherd who cares about them, and that they stay close to the shepherd. The rod was an instrument used by the shepherds to throw at the enemy. It's also an instrument used by the shepherd to stop a sheep that is going or about to eat poisonous plants or doing something it shouldn't. It's a means for protection from the enemy, but it's also a means for protection from themselves and the pearls they would make out of their own lives. So as they went up these valleys, pursuing that higher mountain grazing for the summer, they walked, as it were, through the valley of the shadow of death because of all the enemies that lurked around them. But it says they walked through it. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death. Many times we think of this as we think of going and experiencing death close in our loved ones that pass on. And I'm not opposed to that at all. But I like this picture given in that book as you think of going to higher ground and passing through these areas where the bears, the wolves, the cougars, the coyotes, etc. lived. And their interest in, yes, destroying the sheep. The staff was used by the shepherd to maybe pick up a sheep, lift him close to himself and inspect it. Also used to hold by the side of a sheep to direct them in the path that he wanted them to walk. Thy rod and thy staff, they comfort me. The rod we could look at as a type of the Word, and the staff we could look at as a type of the Holy Spirit. The rod, no, truth. Over in Ephesians 6, the Word or truth is a means of defense against the enemy. And the staff, as we think of the Holy Spirit and His work in the life of the believer as a guiding comforter to guide us in the path that we need to go. I will fear no evil, for thou art with me. As they faced the challenges of going to higher ground, going along and maybe enemy wild animals came out against them, the sheep definitely were at rest when they could see their shepherd and be close. They could see their shepherd and be close. This morning we too must value his staff directing us. Must be individuals who desire to look into the face of the shepherd and be blessed by his voice. Thou preparest a table before me in the presence of mine enemies. That verse, I never really understood that verse. I'd read that, it's like, what? How do you prepare a table and the enemies all around? You know, that's where my mind would go. You know, eating with enemies all around your table. But it is true. As the shepherd goes before to prepare a table on those highlands, he is pictured going out before the sheep and looking the mountaintop over and figuring out where the good lush grass is, where some that shouldn't be grazed as much, dealing with the water holes that need helped, springs that need opened up maybe again, and so that when he brings his flock there for the summer, they all are able to experience the blessing they need for growth that year. Thou preparest a table before me in the presence of mine enemies. He is not going to go in that area, failing to think about the fact that there are signs of the enemy. And he is aware of that, and he tries to direct his flock to places where they can sleep maybe for the night, rest for the night, that is a safer place to be because of what's around. Jesus has shown us by example how to live and face the sorrows, the ridicules, etc. in life. He is the one who has gone ahead of us and shown us the way. He understands what life is all about. He understands each one of us individually. He knows what grazing we need so that we can be spiritual giants, if I can use that term, or growing in Him. I should maybe say that. And He has done His best to take us in a pathway that will prepare us for ultimate service over yonder. Even though while we are in this life, we are faced with the enemy all around us, trying to destroy us. Our shepherd is interested in preparing us a table. Is life without an enemy lurking? No. But you know what? Jesus' table can feed us no matter how many enemies are lurking. Isn't that true? It is. He's our shepherd. He wants us to be fed. Thou preparest a table before me in the presence of mine enemies. Thou anointest my head with oil. It's interesting to me that they used a mixture of oil and sometimes olive oil and other ingredients to put on the head of a sheep, especially when they were being disturbed by nasal flies and by other potential flies and the damage that brought. Because you know what it's like. You've ever seen an animal. Well, I see the cows sometimes when they get a big fly on them. What's a fly? Well, I can't think of the name. Anyhow, what? Yeah, when the horse flies bite them and they just, you know, they go running. It upsets them. Swatting their tails or kicking or, you know, whatever they're doing to get rid of that. When a sheep's the same way, it disturbs them very much. When a nasal fly gets there on them and wants to lay its egg in their, you know, nose and let the results of that ruin their lives. And the shepherd cares about this. And the shepherd anoints their head with oil. And he says in that book, as soon as this happens, there's an immediate change in the sheep. It just changes things. No longer is the fly pestering it. Thou anointest my head with oil. So the diligent shepherd is very much interested in the care of his sheep. As I think in a spiritual sense, the anointing of the Holy Spirit on our lives, you know, without that, where would we be? He comforts. He guides. He helps us pray as we... He brings our prayers to the Father in the way that He says, you know, helps us in prayer. He gently corrects. He leads us away from sin and into all truth instead. The work of the Holy Spirit to guide us, to guide the believer, to deliver him from the pests of sin and the consequences of sin. Were it not for God's Holy Spirit working in our lives, the anointing of that Holy Spirit. Maybe you think of other aspects as you think of this. Thou anointest my head with oil. Then we find this response. As he thinks, you know, here's what all my shepherd is doing for me. He makes me lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside the still waters. He restores my soul. He leadeth me in the paths of righteousness for his name's sake. He's with me in the valley when it's easy for me to be afraid. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for thou art with me. Thy rod and thy staff, they comfort me. And he prepares a table before me in the presence of mine enemies and anointeth my head with oil. My cup runneth over. My cup runneth over. How precious that is as I think of the response. This should be the response of our souls to our shepherd. My cup runneth over. God, you are so good to me. God, you have met my needs again and again. God, you are so capable. God, you know how to direct in the circumstances of life when I would only make a ruin of my life. God, you are so faithful. I come to you when I am distraught, and you are able to meet the needs of my soul again and restore peace to my soul. My cup runneth over. There's so much. There's plenty. There's more than what I need. He wants us to spill over from our lives, doesn't he? My cup runneth over. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. Can I thank God even in the storms? Can I see God's goodness to me again and again as a sheep? Will praise be on my lips to God, even like Job was in his calamity? Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. Where is our shepherd trying to lead us? He's trying to lead us to a place that's blessed forever. I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. This morning, we each have to answer this question. Is Psalm 23 my testimony? Can it be my testimony? Can I surrender my life to the shepherd? Will he meet the needs in my soul this week? Will I find his pasture sufficient for my needs? Will I enjoy his protection? Will I stay close to the shepherd? Or am I going to be a wandering sheep and think it's better outside the fold? May God help us to answer that question correctly. Shall we kneel in prayer? Dear Lord, this morning, thank you, Father, that we can come to you as our shepherd, as the one who understands us, who made us, who designed us, who has placed us in the circumstances that you've chosen to allow to be around us for our good, for our well-being, for our growth. Who has prepared table after table, as it were, for our spiritual nourishment. And has blessed us, O Father, with the washing of the water of your word again and again. And has been with us through the ups and downs of life through the years. Those times, Lord, when we became self-sufficient, you showed us, Lord, how much we needed you. Those times, Lord, when we allowed the enemy to get control in our thoughts, you came back, Lord, with your rod and your staff and corrected us and guided us and showed us the end of that road. We thank you, Lord, that you promise to be with us. And we thank you, Lord, for your interest in each one of us personally. Father, you know the challenges each of us face here this morning. But we want, Lord, to rest in your goodness and in your mercy. And we just pray, Lord, that each one of us would see that again and again each day of our lives. And cry out to you and lean on you and trust in you and love you, Lord, and serve you, Father, and continue, Father, to serve you. And to be able to dwell with you eternally, Lord. That is our goal here this morning in this worship service, to have our hearts stirred again in a surrender to you, in a commitment to you, to serve you here in this life, and to be able to experience that service in the world to come there at your feet. Bless us, Lord, with that courage and strength and trust in you that we need, Father. And bless us, Lord, with victory. Victory over the enemy of our souls. Victory over those parasites, Lord.